Thank you. Welcome back to Inside Agriculture. I'm Mick Kerr. He's Randy Martinson, who does have a few details on the U.S.-China trade deal. And apparently one of the reasons we don't have many details is because it's an unfinished document.
There wasn't anything signed because they made some final adjustments and everything's got to look pretty before they sign the contract. So right now it's just basically, you know, understandings that this is what's going to happen. And, you know, we did see some back and forth even on that for a little bit today, but when it was all said and done, there's a little bit of clarification that needs to come because they're saying that China's going to buy 12 million metric ton of soybeans for to finish out the year. Mm-hmm. Well, China goes by calendar year, whereas we go by October to September. We think this is a calendar year and that China is going to buy 12 million metric ton of soybeans in 2025. Now, they bought some earlier. We don't think that's part of the deal. This will just be to finish out the year. And then they're going to buy 25 million metric ton going forward for the next 3 years, which that's a good amount. I mean, it was a friendly deal for soybeans for the U.S. If it is 12 million metric ton to finish out the year, that is what we needed. That's going to be roughly that 300 to 400 million bushels, which is what we need to kind of stave off seeing exports pulled back. We have sold some extra bushels to other countries, but we would have fallen short without China coming in and buying a little bit. So this is going to help with that. And then also, I think we're going to see a production cut. So that'll lower stocks a little bit. So this is a good number going forward. And it would be friendly to see it once the government gets back up and running again to see what the S&D numbers look like. Kind of disappointing is that, you know, corn didn't really get much of a mention at all. Beef didn't get a mention at all in this. Wheat was kind of the forgotten, you know, redheaded stepchild in this one. But we did see sorghum get a little bit of ink, but there was nothing specific on for sorghum.
As far as the lack of government reports and the government shutdown affecting the markets?
Well, you know, we've traded well without them, so we're kind of wondering if we want them. But, no, looking at it, it would be nice to know where the exports have been. You know, when we did get that export announcement from that China bought that 180 million or 180,000 metric ton a couple of days ago, that came from China. That didn't come from a U.S. official. So it would be nice to see more so on the corn side and the wheat side, where demand has been at, where our export demand has been at, and then also where our harvesting and our planting progress is going at. So those two numbers would be nice. It would also then be able to give us a chance to see the supply and demand numbers where we can see just where our ending stocks are at and what this really means going forward. I definitely think producers should be taking advantage of, you know, the soybeans that are in the bin that need to be moved. We should be looking at getting those sold, you know, maybe wait for, you know, a little setback to maybe buy those back if you wanted to. But, you know, right now I would say we could trade on a 50 cent, either side of where we are right now, 50 cents lower to 50 cents higher, depending on where the supply and demand numbers come into play. But, you know, I think we've kind of taken care of, so we're not going to see much more downside because of this extra demand coming in and the fact that China will be buying from us for the next 3 years. So that kind of, I think, puts a little bit of a floor in this market.
Randy Martinson on Farm Talk. On AgriTalk, Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures.
Beans trading a 44-cent range. That's about three times the 14-day average true range. So a lot going on in these markets. But it's great to see markets moving again rather than just watching paint dry day in and day out as it was for much of the summer. I think it presents a little bit of a trader's paradise short term, whether you're bullish or bearish. I think there's going to be some shorter term opportunities on both sides of the market today in corn. It tested the 200-day moving average almost to a T and retraced back into that. I continue to think that, you know, buying the dips in the corn market is going to continue to be the trend and the path of least resistance as we hopefully mark higher lows and higher highs for the foreseeable future. And then soybeans obviously is the one that's caught everybody's attention. It looked like we're going to roll over and fill that gap as we didn't really get any substance at the 3 a.m. tweet from President Trump. But then Bessent, as you had mentioned, kind of gave us a little bit more detail, which got people excited, the market participants at least. So hopefully we can get some follow through. But I expect, like I said, choppy trade and opportunity for participants on both sides of the market here for the foreseeable future. On the cattle side, pure capitulation on Tuesday. The volume was insane. Volatility reached the highest level since 2020, 2021. Everybody that was trapped long either, you know, got forced out or got out on their own on Tuesday when we came off a locked limit. So I think we trade a little bit more there. I'm still a little bit pessimistic. I think rallies will probably get sold into, but a relief rally from these levels and feeders could still be another $15 higher.
Soybeans and cattle futures, optimistic. Corn and wheat, everybody forgot about them. This is Inside Agriculture. We're checking your weekend weather forecast now.